Hi, I'm Klaatu.
And I'm Gort.
And this is episode 003 of The Bad Apples, the Finder episode. The Bad Apples is a group of hardcore Mac users, and this is their podcast, and it's your podcast. If you are looking for Mac answers, Mac hacks, Mac apps, and a couple of cool Unix line commands. In this episode, we're going to talk about the Finder. There's been a lot of confusion about what the Finder does, how it does it, and why it does it. So we're going to analyze it. We're going to talk about the Finder, every aspect of it, Finder alternatives. We're going to fix the Finder, and we're going to introduce the whole world to the little-known and yet very important by-host preference folder. Get ready.
Yesterday, I spent an hour and a half teaching one of our girls what she needed to know in order to start on the oscilloscope today.
When I first heard about a little program called Quicksilver, it was being called by a lot of people a replacement for the Finder. And I discovered by accident in the process that there's a whole group within Mac users who just hate the Finder. And I have to say, I'm not one of those people. I like the Finder. In fact, I think it's a great window manager. It's my preferred graphic interface for computing. I'm not saying there aren't other great interfaces out there. There's a Linux-based clone of NextStep called GNUStep. There's a very unique one called Fluxbox. Both of those I use on my Linux machines. But the Finder is something that I'm comfortable with, and I think it works really well. But I think there certainly is a lot of misunderstanding about the Finder, which we're going to get into a little bit in this episode. But first, let's talk about Quicksilver.
Cool. Mac. App. Of the week.
For me, it's not so much a Finder replacement as it is a really handy bridge between, in a way, the terminal and the Finder. On its official website, it's being called by its programmers a launcher for now. So it kind of gives you the notion that it does have maybe some larger goals. And there are a lot of proponents for Quicksilver being bundled with the Finder, which I wouldn't mind, really. I love the program. Quicksilver is a very powerful program that takes a little getting used to. And depending on your workflow, it may or may not fit in, you know, right away with your workflow. It definitely could add a whole new dimension to your computing. Okay, so what is Quicksilver? Well, it's a small open source program that you can download and install, and it integrates perceptively with your OS. That is to say, it's a very transparent program. It doesn't get in the way. It doesn't even feel like it's running, usually. It's something that pops up, you know, like when you adjust your volume with the volume keys, there's a bezeled volume sign that shows you where your volume is right now on the scale. Or when you adjust your brightness and contrast on a laptop, it pops up with a little sun icon, shows you whether it's bright right now or dim. So that's what it looks like, or that's what it can look like. And you can assign a hotkey to it. And so when you invoke Quicksilver, it simply opens a little window and you start typing the name of whatever program you want to start. And it, very much like Spotlight, brings up the nearest match for what you're typing. And then it gives you a list of actions that you can perform on the item that you're typing in. So you can open it, or you can launch it, or you can jump to a certain web page, or create a new file, or really almost anything. This can be a very, very fluid process, especially if you're working within a terminal or a text editor or something very keyboard-driven. Quicksilver becomes a kind of minimalistic, keyboard-driven Finder. It's not at all limited to just launching an application either. In fact, I don't really think of the word limit much when it comes to Quicksilver. It's a completely open software, so people have written plugins for it. People are constantly posting on the Quicksilver forums about different hacks or tips that they've discovered. It's amazing what you can do with this little piece of software. And on its own, it's a very robust program. From the time you install it, it creates a catalog of everything on your computer, and so you have access to everything through its interface. I'll give you some really cool examples. If you want to open a file, again, you invoke Quicksilver, just start typing the name of the file. That brings the file into the first field, which is the processing field. You tab over into the next field, that's the action field, and you can decide what you now want to do with that file. You want to open it? Well, that's the default action, so you're done. If you want to delete it, just start typing delete, and it will give you that option. Want to move it? Start typing move, and then you tab over into the third and final field, which is the destination field. And you start typing the folder you want to move the file to. How about this? Got a quick note you want to jot down? Just start typing. Quicksilver, unable to find a match for that, switches into text mode and just retains whatever you've typed in. Tab over to the action field and start typing new, and a selection for creating a new file will appear. Hit enter and you're done. You've just created a text file with the text that you've typed, all from Quicksilver. So as an experiment, I installed Quicksilver onto one of my systems, onto one of my test partitions, and I wanted to really give it a run for its money. So I disabled both the Finder and the dock, and I set the Quicksilver and the terminal to start at login. So essentially, I booted into a fairly empty screen with a terminal window and access to Quicksilver. And under these circumstances, in order to open a document or application, I have to invoke Quicksilver and start whatever I needed to do. Either that or just type it into the terminal. But I was trying to get myself to use Quicksilver as much as possible. And I was really surprised to find that there was not much of an adjustment period. Once I got the concept down, it was really natural to invoke Quicksilver, type in what I wanted to do, and start working. A few small problems came up that had me reading online documentation a lot. First of all, the default setup of Quicksilver. This is a small one. It's not the sleek bezel style that you typically see online on all the screenshots. That was an easy fix in Quicksilver's preferences, not a huge deal. Other settings were surprisingly limited by default. I had to go into my preferences and enable quite a few action sets that, since all the rave online about Quicksilver is about these advanced features, you'd think that they would be enabled right away after you install it. But actually they're not. They're turned off, and you have to go into preferences and enable them. And still, I haven't been able to type in text and add to it or append to it later on with Quicksilver. I can create a new file, but I still haven't been able to just keep adding text into that same file. It must be some kind of feature that is not turned on, or that I haven't downloaded to add to it or something. But it's a popular feature that was really interesting to me when I read about it online, but it's not doing that. Another slightly odd thing about it is that, in a way, it gives the feeling that you're operating independently of the file tree. That is, you can't really just type in users and be taken to your users folder. You can't type a /, and be taken to your root folder. Not a big deal if you're thinking of Quicksilver as a very Mac OS X application, but if you're also used to the terminal, then it seems very much like an Aqua application rather than a system-wide interface. It's not a problem, it's just something to be aware of. Since it seems to be a little bit of a bridge between the terminal and, for instance, the Finder, you know, if you're in the terminal, you kind of expect Quicksilver to act more like just a graphic version of the terminal. But it really is only in the sense that it has terminal-like features, such as being a keyboard-driven application, managing files and folders via the keyboard, and typing in the source and then the destination. But it's not a window into a shell, and that's just something to be aware of. And it also has a whole host of plugins available for it, like I mentioned. There are plugins to increase the action field for specific programs. So there's plugins to tie it more into iPhoto or Keychain or Camino or OmniWeb or Remote Desktop, screen capturing, Spotlight, slideshow actions, and many, many, many more. There's a lot to explore. So where can you get it? It's easy. http://quicksilver.blacktree.com. So that's quicksilver.blacktree.com. And you should look around on that site for links. There are links to screencasts, tips, hacks, forums, and everything Quicksilver. The fans and users of Quicksilver are serious about it. They love it. And only some of them really hate the Finder. But either way, Quicksilver is undeniably just an absurdly robust app that does seem to be so flexible and powerful that I could personally envision a Quicksilver OS or a QSOS coming out, you know, as a little Mac sub cult, their own operating system based around Quicksilver. A few more features and it could literally drive, I think, the whole Mac box. It's a cult I'd join, if not exclusively, but it's definitely an app you should know, and it's an app to watch. That's it. Next up, we're going to have more on the Finder from Gort, but first, you know what that music means, time for a coffee break, so we'll be right back.
Coffee on the mess deck. Say half an hour.
Gort, looks like it's your turn to do the Mac hack of the week. What do you got for us?
The Finder. What a great application. But a lot of people are mystified by how the Finder acts. You open a window from one hard drive and it comes up with big icons, a big sidebar, right in the center of your screen. You open a window from another hard drive and it comes up in the three-panel view in the bottom right. Yet another window from another hard drive opens up with sidebar.